Here we go. Hello, welcome to the Ghost Museum with Chelsea and Jim. This is a podcast where we add something new each week, a new artifact to the Ghost Museum, and we talk about it, tell a ghost story, but mostly it's about us. Don't be clicking on this thinking that you're going to get some really well-researched, informative ghost podcast, because you're not.
Well, Jim, you say that. This is the first time in our history that I've done a really well-researched, informative ghost podcast.
I take it back.
But then it'll be back to usual from next week, I assume, when it's your turn.
Yeah, you have assumed correctly. Hey, sorry we've not made a podcast for a while.
Yeah, just
time just flies, doesn't it?
Well, we've had a lot on.
Yeah, Chelsea's got a new job, moved house.
Yeah.
I've just been, you know, life.
Yeah.
Lot of life in the way.
You've been alive for the last 4 weeks at least.
Yeah. Had a haircut as well.
Oh, wow. And you didn't tell me about it.
No. Did I not?
Are you all right?
Yeah. It wasn't great. Because my hair's still, like, it's still underneath. It's still bleach blonde.
Underneath? No, it's not.
Underneath the brown?
No, that's not how, it's not like a layer of paint.
Yeah, no, it is. So the hair, when it is bleached, obviously it goes like straw.
Yeah.
And then to make it brown again, they just put brown on top of the straw.
No.
So it's still the texture of straw.
Yeah, but if you scratched it, it wouldn't come off and then be blonde because it's porous.
Okay, I didn't mean it that literally. I mean it's still the condition of when it was bleached to shit.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like breaking off.
Yeah.
And you know my biggest fear is losing my hair.
Mm-hmm.
I am losing it. I am.
Yeah, but
But I think
like
it's because
the
of the bleach.
Not the from the root.
It's not from the root, it's just breaking off.
Yeah, mine's still not recovered.
Yeah, so yeah, guys, I've had that to deal with. but hey, thanks for clicking on us.
That's the real horror story.
Chelsea, you've got an artifact for us today, haven't you?
I have indeed. Anyone who's turned up to the gates of the Ghost Museum today might need to be turned away because we've got a new rule, baby. I'll tell you what it is if you're not going to ask.
Oh, sorry. What's the new rule?
New dress code, and it's pyjamas.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I like that, right? Nothing sexy, nothing fashion conscious. I want it to be, you know, classic Charlie and the Chocolate Factory. Fucking, it's Hogwarts at Christmas time. We're at the Ghost Museum. As though it's a night and we're all going around with our friends and we're like 11 and we've got candles on. That's the vibe.
I'm imagining like a buttoned up plaid pyjama.
Oh, 100%.
Maybe one of those, you know, like the, I don't know what it's called, the sleeping hat that Scrooge has on in Christmas Carol.
Like Pee Wee Herman.
Are they allowed?
What?
Are they allowed, those hats?
Oh, the hats. Yeah. If anything, encouraged.
How do you feel about like a novelty slipper? Like a monster foot slipper? Bit too wacky?
Nothing with bells on.
Okay.
Like if it's like an elf shoe, no, get out, because I'm talking now. No time for merriment. Chelsea's talking.
Okay, so as long as it's a silent slipper, you are happy.
Oh, absolutely.
It's very relaxed
but
here.
But watch out for the stairs.
Oh, yeah, sure.
It could be a hazard. No liability. Sign a waiver.
We don't have any responsibility.
If your slippers can cause a hazard, that's not on Chelsea and Jim. Get some insurance.
I'm going to put it out there now. We don't actually have any health and safety officer. I don't even know if we've got a first aid kit.
Everyone, tighten the belt on your dressing gowns and follow me because the tour of our latest exhibit has begun. Today, we'll be revisiting one of our most popular series. It's episode 2 of the London Underground.
Yes.
Because the Ghost Museum has been closed for a little while, I thought let's do a famous one.
Mm.
Let's do one that's going to attract some attention. Let's do one that everyone has probably heard a little bit about. It's been sort of peppered throughout popular culture slightly. And to me, nothing says London Underground haunting like William Terrace. Jim, what's your knowledge of William Terrace like?
Oh, pretty extensive, actually.
Mm-hmm.
Bill.
Yeah.
Billy, the old tube driver guy.
Yeah.
Who, and he was a ghost then.
Yeah.
And it was terrible at haunting people.
So, should we go to emails?
Go on, remind me. I probably know the name, but I can't quite place it.
So as we make our way past our infamous gallstones, I'll give you a quick background on William Terrace. I'll give you a Terrace biopic synopsis.
Ooh.
And I say that, but then I actually go into a lot of detail about his life, and that's 50% of the podcast, so it's more of just everything you need to know about Will.
I'm ready to learn about him.
Born in 1847, Terrace came up walking the boards as a young man, acting in a variety of plays before gaining notoriety for his performance as the titular protagonist in Robin Hood. William's dalliance as the Prince of Thieves captured him into the limelight. Catapulted him into the limelight, guys. Not captured him into the limelight. I've written this down, and I can see that that's a different word. Anyway, it's the gum.
Sometimes being famous, it is like being catapulted. You know, one captured, sorry.
Captured, yeah.
You cut that whole bit out.
Yeah. Can I get rid of my gum? Because I can hear it in my mouth.
Has it been there, Charles, if you want?
William's dalliance as the Prince of Thieves. It wasn't the gum, it was my mouth that was the problem. William's dalliance as the Prince of Thieves. I just can't say thieves.
I think the issue is you're saying it like it's spelt with an F.
Yeah, thieves. But it's because the V's coming and I'm preparing for the V too soon. Thieves. Catapult. We'll skip that. We'll go to the next bit. It crystallised him as one of the most popular actors of the Victorian era, something which ultimately may have led to his demise. After taking on a stint of Shakespearean plays at the Lyceum, Terrace began work with the Adelphi Theatre, often playing the hero in their melodramas. On the 15th of May...
Sorry, question.
Go on.
I don't... What is a melodrama? I've heard the word loads, but I've never questioned what... How is it different to just a drama?
I mean, I feel like in the olden days, it was like a romantic drama. It was like a woman's drama.
Oh, right, okay.
It's melodramatic. Like a soap? Yeah, sort
like
of. Like
an early Coronation Street.
It's like very, my heart is broken. When will he come back from sea?
Okay. Yeah, nice.
As opposed to a drama, could just be like, "Oh, I've got your drugs."
Yeah, a little bit more romantic, a little bit more like very overdramatic.
On the 15th of May, 1987, an American production of Secret Service opened. Secret Service was a sort of Romeo and Juliet style melodrama set to the backdrop of the Civil War. The play was a hit, and after the American cast and crew had left in August, the Adelphi troupe took over their roles. The Times called Secret Service an undeniable success.
No. So he was, like, famous. Do you think people would have stopped him in the street, that level of fame?
It's hard to tell, because they didn't have a bigger level of fame then, did they?
No.
If you weren't, like, the king.
Yeah, but then I guess within the circle.
Yeah.
The acting, you know, the theatre-going circle, he'd have been a big deal.
He went on tour to America, too. So I don't know if they knew who he was in America, or if they just took him to America because he could act.
Broke America. Tricky.
Yeah, especially in
that. Little Mix have been trying it for years.
Did they break the UK, would you say?
Yeah. Yeah.
What's one of their songs?
Oh, Black Magic, Hair. I can play a bit of...
Well, Jim, I think, no, you work as a radio host, so that was a silly question to ask you.
I can name you Little Mix songs for days, Chels.
Oh, yeah? I couldn't name one. All I know is that there's one in there that's a bit of a chubber. I don't know if she still is. I've never said that sentence. That was why they were famous.
Can't say chubba,
right?
Chels.
That's why they were famous.
No, it's not why they were famous. Because one of them was a chubba?
Is it because they won pop stars?
That's me quoting you, by the way. That's not me saying that, okay? Don't come at me.
It's because they won pop stars. American Idol.
X Factor.
That's it.
Oh my God.
I don't watch telly.
It is sometimes a lot like talking to a nan, having a conversation with you about popular culture, Chels.
Anyway. Yeah, but Eminem's back. He's got a new album. Yeah. I know all about that.
Yeah.
I love it.
And he's still saying faggot, so...
Is he, though?
Yeah.
No, he didn't.
He did.
He bleeped it out and he was quoting Tyler, the Creator.
Well, that's not what I heard from the tweets. The angry tweets.
Yeah, well, women love from to hate liberals. Eminem. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. They need to stop typing sometimes.
So, in many ways, a simpler time, probably, when it was just melodramas going on.
Yeah, you had to repress any feelings of, like, sexuality.
Oh,
or...
yeah, you weren't allowed to talk about it.
No.
Definitely not.
But I bet in the play area, they played around.
Yeah, do you reckon?
Yeah.
Do you think it's always been a bit fruity?
Yeah, because when I read... Oh, God. You're, like, talking to my nan.
Look, guys, we just want to assure you we're both in our early 20s. So
when I was reading about this, one article later on mentioned that his lover, and it was a woman, and I was surprised, despite the fact all I knew about him was he was an actor in the 1880s, and I was like, oh, he must have been gay. But you kind of associate that. I don't know. Was it a very masculine thing to do? I don't know.
I don't know. I don't know enough about it, really.
I don't know.
I don't. You always associate the artistic and literary scene with being a bit more gay.
Yeah. If anyone's listening to this, Jim's gay.
Oh yeah, yeah. I'm allowed to. That's why I said fruity.
Yeah.
I said faggot earlier. I'm allowed to.
Yeah. Some people might listen to this like on iTunes.
Yeah.
Who don't know anything about Jim's history.
Yeah.
Get mad. So I thought
we should always do that as a disclaimer. Yeah.
Chelsea's a woman, so I can be horrible about them. also Chubba. So I can say that. Let's just open every podcast. Welcome to the Ghost of June Gym Museum. Chelsea's a fat woman and Jim's gay. Let's get on with the podcast.
Okay, right. What's this William up to then? Apart from smashing it in the world of theatre.
Well, let's stop William's story for a minute, because whilst William Terrace had been making his name as one of the most popular actors in Britain, elsewhere in the country, that's not true because it's Scotland, elsewhere in the
kingdom.
Collection of, in the kingdom.
No,
oh,
that's
God.
Not right.
No, it is,
United
right?
Kingdom.
Yeah, but it sounds wrong to call it a kingdom, but it is a kingdom, just in a different context.
Yes.
Elsewhere in the kingdom, a young Richard Archer Prince was having far less luck.
Oh, with that name.
I did it like a fairy godmother in a children's story. Was having far less luck, Shrek.
Don't call me that. But he's got such a great name. Surely he's got actor written all over him.
Right. Richard Archer Prince. Lovely
yes,
name.
Please.
Born in 1858, a decade after Terrace, Prince was a bit of a problem child. Uh-oh. One of nine children to a poor Scottish family, Prince was left outside in the sun as a baby, his mother later attributing this to his behavioural difficulties. At 14, after finding little success at school, Prince instead went to work at a shipbuilder's during the day, whilst chasing his one true passion in the evenings. Richard wanted to be an actor, and would spend all of his spare time as a supernumerary at the local theatre.
What's that?
It's like a, not an understudy, someone that's learning to become an actor, so they spend a lot of time there, and they have like a mentor that's a real actor.
Okay. So he's just like work experience.
Yeah, it's work experience.
He's just lurking about.
Theater.
Did you say that his mum left him in the sun?
Yeah.
As a baby?
As a baby. I think they're in some sort of field. I don't know if she was like a field picker.
So what, did something happen to him? Did it like make him,
was
he constantly sunburnt as a result?
Yeah, he's just a bit pink.
Always
that's
pink.
That's the issue. I don't know. She just said he had like behavioural problems, and like he got kicked out of school a lot. Mm. Like maybe a sort of 1870s ADHD.
Mm. Too much sun.
Too much sun. That's what she said was the issue. I feel like he was probably a bit neglected. There was like, I think it was his father's second marriage, his mum, a lot of kids, poor, it's the 1800s. You just want to be an actor, but you're a shipbuilder.
Yeah, yeah.
Not that, I mean, that's a noble profession.
Oh, yeah, no. Hey, we don't want to, if there's any shipbuilders out there
listening to this,
we're not
podcast.
Having a go. I'd love to be a shipbuilder.
I don't
know
even
where to
know.
Start.
What? Yeah, near the sea?
Yeah, I guess so.
Easier, because then you've got less far to take it.
Exactly.
For a test run.
Because they're big.
They're not small.
No.
You could get a small ship if it was a boat.
Mm.
When does a boat become a ship?
I knew you were going to ask that. I'd say when it's got more than one
layer. Oh, that's a good thought.
Yeah.
Somebody on Reddit today asked when a house became a mansion, and someone replied, when you have 20 columns in The Sims.
Yeah.
Good, but in real life, we didn't get to the answer.
Yeah, I don't know.
I think that's a good... No, because boats have two levels.
I'd say when it's got... Okay, when
more
it's got
two.
More than two.
Yeah.
That's a ship.
Or...
But then a yacht. What's a yacht?
No one knows.
When does a yacht come into it?
I think a yacht's like a flat ship. Or does a yacht have a poke at the bottom of the thing?
Oh, so you think a ship's got to go down a lot.
Yeah. Yachts are more wide on the top. Mm. White. Always white. You won't find a different, like a colourful yacht.
Oh, no. I've seen a black yacht. It looks really cool. I'm going to show it to
yeah,
you.
Yeah, I can imagine. It's like... Isn't it like the white one, but darker?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Have you seen it as well?
Yeah, yeah. After a couple of years as a shipbuilder, he gave up and he was like, fuck it, I'm heading to London. I'm chasing this dream, baby.
Good for him.
Yeah, really good for him. And thanks to his early dedication as a supernumerary, he was able to find small supporting theatrical roles in the London acting arena.
Great.
During this time, Prince and Terrace became acquainted.
Oh, yeah.
Terrace becoming somewhat of a professional father figure for Prince, helping the younger man to find roles.
Mm.
For his part, Prince was dejected. He felt that he was the superior actor and deserved far more than minor parts, especially when Terrace was playing the lead. And to either curb his bitterness or revel in it, Prince turned to drink. Often being drunk and rowdy on set, he became known as Mad Archer. For Terrace, the final straw came during a run of the Harbour Lights when he had Mad Archer removed from the production for making comments about him behind his back. Despite this, Terrace still sent Prince money, trying to help the younger man get back on his feet.
Hang on, that's weird, isn't
what?
It? That he's sending him money.
Well, exactly.
Come
was
on.
Was there an affair?
There's got to have been. Mm. You don't send a friend money, not someone you've just met like that.
Yeah, I guess.
You've known each other for years and years, maybe.
I don't know how... So they couldn't have known each other that long, and I don't think they were super close.
No, nah, they're banging.
He could have had some guilt. If he got
guilt
him fired.
About what?
He got him fired. So he didn't want him on set because of he had been like spreading rumours behind his back because he was jealous. So Terrace was like, no, I don't want him on set anymore. And because Terrace was such a big name, like he lost his job. And he couldn't find other work. So he could have felt guilty about it.
Maybe.
Yeah, he was
I think they're shagging.
Dick. He
yeah.
was sucking.
I think it's
dick.
A bit of money just to keep quiet. Don't talk about the hand jobs.
Maybe that's what he said.
Here's
behind
a shilling.
His back.
Maybe, because it probably wouldn't be reported at the time.
I don't know. I don't know. I just don't think. I feel like if that was the case, then Archer would have said something about it.
Do you think?
Yeah, I do. I think, like, because he's malicious and he's angry. So, of course, he would have been like, I'm saying all the shit about you behind your back anyway. I'll also say that I'm fucking you. And, like, maybe he'd be like...
Maybe he did, but maybe nobody believed it. So that's why it was never reported or written down.
Mayhaps.
But,
I mean, like...
But he would... But also, Chels,
yeah.
If he'd have said that, he would have gone to jail as well.
And would you have gone to the
yeah,
jailhouse in those days?
Of course.
Oh,
Oscar Wilde.
Is that why he went to jail for being gay and not being like politically angry?
No. It was illegal till like the 1960s, wasn't it?
To be gay?
Yeah.
Oh, that's so weird to hear in 2018, isn't it?
Yeah.
Imagine being born now when like there's like, I say no gay hate, but like in our circles, no, like everything goes.
Well, certainly not being illegal, yeah.
Yeah, but like, and then going, oh, that used to be illegal.
Yeah.
That's
in our parents' lifetime.
No.
Yeah.
Everyone was gay in the 1920s.
Mm. Not spoken about, though, Chels. That's the thing.
What about Andy Warhol? Was he straight?
That was later, though, wasn't it? No.
Yeah,
was Andy Warhol straight?
I stood that, and then I was like, oh, he had loads of beautiful women hanging around him all the time. What was that main one he had?
Maybe he just liked to put it about.
Yeah.
I think he just liked people that were beautiful. There's a whole like photography series he did where he was just like taking photos of dicks.
Do you reckon he had sex with Basquiat or he just fancied him?
Don't know.
I love that painting of them.
I don't know. Basquiat liked to put it about as well.
Yeah, I don't know if he'd have... I don't know, like it's weird. Obviously he wouldn't, like objectively, I would assume that he wouldn't have been attracted to Andy Warhol if Andy Warhol wasn't Andy Warhol. It's so confusing when someone has power and like whether or not they're actually hot.
But then maybe if you like, and obviously Basquiat loved Warhol. So if somebody's your hero and you just creatively, you're just so in awe of them, then you probably would find them attractive, maybe.
Yeah, I think so. I think it like, I'm trying to think of anyone that I admire creatively that I would fuck who I otherwise wouldn't. But I can't think of anyone I admire is like the hurdle that...
Also, Chels, we're very superficial.
Yeah, I forgot.
So
I really admire Harry Styles and what he's done for the music industry.
We don't admire anyone.
Who do
They're
you
shagging.
Admire?
Creatively.
Yeah.
Mm.
That isn't dead.
That isn't dead.
That's where I came
across? That's a really good question. It's probably quite worrying that I can't think of anybody immediately.
Yeah, same. And I think there's people whose work I really like, but I don't actively admire them. Like Charlie Kaufman. Love his movies, love his work.
Yeah.
But I don't admire him the way that I used to admire, like, Bukowski or David Foster Wallace.
Yeah.
Who are now dead.
Yeah.
Or like, Bill Hicks.
I think with people who are alive, I don't know, I don't associate the work with a person so much, unless they're dead, and then they become, like, enshrined with this, like, aura of, like, being a legend because they're dead.
Yeah.
I've explained that really badly. But there's lots of things that I like where I don't really necessarily think about the person who's created it.
Maybe.
If it's a current thing.
Yeah, because I was thinking, like, Kubrick. If Kubrick was still alive, like, would I still watch his movies with the same sort of, like, reverence as I do, knowing that he's dead and he can't make anymore? Because, like, then it becomes, like, a complete work, I guess. Yeah. Whereas if they can still make film, or, like, whatever, they can let you down still. They still have that capacity to, like, go. Like, Woody Allen should have stopped years ago.
And another example would be Ricky Gervais.
Wah.
If we'd have spoken about this
10 years ago.
Well, no, longer ago.
Yeah.
Probably 15 years ago, when The Office had just been made or was still on.
Maybe Extras.
Yeah, into the Extras era, we'd have been like,
I admire
They can't do anything wrong. And then cut to 15 years later, it's like, oh, you fucked that up. Why did you make it into a terrible film?
Yeah, well, everything, though. Like,
what was Derek? What the fuck was that? All of that shit.
Everything. Like, he was... When he was alive, he was like a god to us. Like, he was...
He's still alive.
Yeah. I mean, when he made The Office, I was like, some people, like, if they had have died, they would have left a better legacy. It's like... When we were watching,
we're not saying we wish that it died, but
no, because it doesn't change that we still have The Office. But I've never, to me, you can't make anything better than The Office. That's the pinnacle of comedy. And obviously, like, loads of other stuff is funny and, like, it's subjective. But for my personal thing, you couldn't. It's just a genius thing. It's brought it to an art level. It's brought it to an intellectual level. It added everything about it was perfect to me.
Well, it's the same with, like. Like, I really love Nirvana. You might have heard of them. They're pretty big in the 90s. But if Kurt Cobain hadn't died, maybe they'd have gone on to be terrible. Maybe they'd have had some really bad... Maybe they would have sold out. Maybe they'd have done some, like, questionable commercial shit. You just don't know. And that could have easily detracted from their first three albums, which were great.
Yeah. I mean, like, well, Eminem, for example, he went downhill, but he's come back up again.
Kind of, but still in my head, like, because Eminem's a bit old now, and that's, like, it's a really superficial thing to say, but it doesn't seem that relevant to me. It seems a bit uncool.
Oh, so relevant!
No, but it's just not...
Did you listen to Kamikaze?
No, I didn't even want to listen to it.
Oh, it's not like the other shit. The work that he made before, it sounds a lot like he was trying to do what he thought would be popular and not doing Eminem. And Kamikaze is very much more back to his roots. It's Eminem again doing what Eminem fucking loved. And as such, he's brought a new relevance to it because before he dictated that genre of music. Like, people wanted to emulate Eminem. Whereas when Eminem started emulating others or trying to predict what the trend would be as opposed to just being his authentic self, then people turn away from him. And Kamikaze's kind of like back to form in many ways. I've got a lot of questions around Killshot. Like, I think he won the MGK battle, but at the same time, there's a producer on both tracks that's the same, the MGK diss
track. Machine Gun Kelly.
Yeah.
I don't know much about it, I'll be honest.
I don't know if it was just all a big publicity stunt.
Probably. I think a lot of those things are.
It's a shame because Eminem shouldn't stoop.
But it's been like, you know, that's been the way in rap for like years, hasn't it?
Yeah. But regardless.
Since the 80s,
well.
Doing, you know. Battles and having beef for publicity.
Yeah, beef for publicity is it.
Yeah.
But regardless of like whatever Eminem's done, he's always been lyrically above and beyond, I think. And he hasn't lost that and he's come back now. If anything, you're better off starting shit and getting better than starting off great and going downhill. And that's something that Bo Burnham's going to have to deal with at some point. And I can't wait.
It's just like, it's like that. I always think of that Stuart Lee joke when he's talking about Bill Hicks.
And
he's like,
it's easy
to be dead Bill Hicks.
Yeah, but Jim, we do admire Stuart Lee.
Yeah, we do, actually, yeah. Yeah, he's brilliant.
He's our favourite man.
Okay, we found somebody, guys. Yeah. Stuart Lee.
And we would fuck him because he's hot too. We'd fuck Stuart Lee. We would fuck him.
I mean, we'll see how we get on.
You would. Don't tell me you wouldn't fuck
Stuart Lee.
I don't think
I would.
You wouldn't fuck.
No.
You would in the 90s because he
was
gorgeous.
Yeah, I would in the 90s.
I haven't seen him for a few, like...
He just looks like a...
A bloated 90s Stuart Lee with less hair.
Yeah.
And that's... I don't know if he would be sexual.
I don't know. I don't see him in that way. I don't find him attractive.
Young Stuart Lee was fucking...
But then I've never... Maybe if I met him, that would change.
Yeah.
Look at 90s Stuart Lee.
I know, he's lovely. Isn't he lovely? Sort of like a shit British Leonardo DiCaprio.
Yeah, he has got a similar little face, hasn't he?
Yeah. Oh, no, maybe I wouldn't fuck him now.
That's a few years ago.
Yeah. Oh, no. I don't think I'd fuck anyone now. I just can't. I wouldn't.
Wouldn't go there.
No.
All right.
If I did fuck, I'd probably fuck Stuart Lee.
There we go. That's the title of this podcast.
Over the course of the next 2 years. Do we need to do a recap or are we fine?
I'm hoping it will make sense in the edit.
Yeah, good. Me too. Over the course of the next 2 years, Prince became destitute and consumed in anger, blaming terrorists for his lack of success, assuming that William had told theatres not to work with him. On December 16th, 4 months into the British run of Secret Service, Richard Archer Prince stabbed William Terrace to death outside the Adelphi Theatre's Royal Entrance in Maiden Lane. Which is where I popped to just before the poddy. Took some photos. He's got a little blue plaque up saying William Terrace.
Oh,
he didn't say
word.
Died here. It was just like, died. I don't know. I can't remember.
So you went to the exact spot?
Yeah. So it's the back entrance of the Adelphi Theatre, which, like, the front of that's on the Strand.
Yeah.
The back's a little, cute little Maiden Lane.
Yeah. That's a great name for a lane, isn't it?
Yeah.
Maiden Lane.
Yeah.
So he just stabbed him up? What, it was just a knife?
He was waiting for him to arrive. He was waiting around a corner for him to arrive. As soon as he saw him, he came across, he stabbed him, I think, in the back neck and ribs or something.
Oh, my God.
And then Terrace sort of crawled into the doorway and died very soon after. When questioned, Prince just essentially said that it was a revenge killing and that he had to kill Terrace or himself die on the streets. I don't know why he thought killing Terrace would stop
him. But Terrace was still sending him money.
Yeah. But he was just so consumed in rage and anger. And he obviously had a history of being sort of antisocial and he had a drinking problem.
Mm.
And he just essentially was quite arrogant.
Yeah, they're very dramatic as well, aren't they, actors?
Melodramatic.
They'll kick off like that. Especially if maybe there's a bit of fucking involved.
Yeah.
He's feeling rejected. His career's at rock bottom.
Are we allowed to...
No one to, you know, toss him off anymore.
Are we allowed to speculate as to whether or not someone that died in the 1800s was gay?
Yeah.
We don't know.
It annoys me when people say that, though. Like, oh, it's not right to speculate. Why? That just reinforces that it's, like, a negative thing to be gay.
Maybe, but it's also, like, if someone was making up lies about my life, it doesn't need to be about my sexuality. If I was dead and someone was like, oh, yeah, she used to collect stamps. No, I didn't.
I feel like people would be less outraged by that lie than... No, you're right. You shouldn't speculate... About anything.
Well, I think what it is because it's such a private thing and people protect it so much and like, oh, if he didn't admit it publicly, he had his own reason. So for us to then speculate it, it's like you're not allowed to come out for somebody else.
There was a thing recently, the National Trust got into trouble because they...
Oh, those guys.
...had done... Well, you know, they are... The rebels. They are troublemakers.
National can't trust us.
Hey. National can't trust you as far as I completely throw you. No, they did a like a gay season, gay month, and one of the houses where they had like a gay exhibition, the guy was always single, always a bachelor in the 19th century when he was alive. So there was and there were suggestions in the exhibition that he had like male friends, obviously, you know, maybe they were fucking, and people were really annoyed about that because they were like, oh well, if he was really private about it in his real life, why should you go in and then talk about it?
Yeah,
which is a good point. I don't know, I guess it depends how much you care about those things. I think if you're dead, you're dead, you don't care.
I don't know.
Like,
I
people
don't
can say whatever they want about me when I'm dead.
Really?
Yeah, I don't care.
Can I just do some lies if I'm alive and you're dead?
Yeah.
Like, I can say that we were together this whole time. I can live my best life.
Kill me so you can then say it.
But there's more to this story. Oh, actually, interesting tidbit. What?
Go on.
Interesting tidbit. In the following January, Prince was sent to trial at the Old Bailey and sentenced to spend the rest of his life in Broadmoor Criminal Lunatic Asylum, where he partook in plays to entertain other inmates until his death in 1937, aged 79.
Oh my word.
We love Broadmoor.
Yeah.
That's one of my favourite
moors. In a way.
Yeah.
Not really a punishment. He's got what he always wanted there.
A captive audience.
Yeah. And he's able to act for the rest of his days.
Yeah.
Lived a long life.
I
don't think Broadmoor
like
was very nice, though. That's one of the bad
it
ones,
wasn't
isn't
super
it?
Chill.
Nah. But I mean, it's got to be fairly chilled if they're letting them put on performances.
They had an orchestra.
He
led the orchestra.
No.
Yeah. That's what the one part of a small Wikipedia article told me. So.
And people are outraged now because prisoners have PlayStations.
They shouldn't have PlayStations.
Well, they shouldn't have cellos either.
Is it all of them?
I think that's just one of those things that they say in the Daily Mail. It's probably not true at all. Although,
what?
So you know how I present a TV show on a music channel?
Yeah.
I don't get recognised from that ever. It's only happened a handful of times.
People would have to watch it to...
Three of the times, it's been people who watched the show when they were in prison.
Oh, okay, well, I was wondering how we were tying this in.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, I used to watch you when I was locked up. I was in there for 18 months.
Again, captive audience.
Yeah. So they definitely have TVs with free view access.
They're living the life of Riley.
I know.
The only thing they haven't got is literal freedom.
Yeah.
Well, not all of us want that.
Yeah, that's true.
I'm fine with staying in. Honestly.
Wouldn't want to share a room, though.
Oh, do they have to share rooms?
Some of them.
Not in 2018.
Yeah,
not
of
in
course.
The Western world.
Yeah.
Is Mexico in the Western world?
No.
Yeah, I'll stick to my first statement then. Also, 50,000 people turned out to line the streets of Terrace's funeral procession.
Really?
So it was a big deal.
Wow.
But that's not where our story ends.
Uh-oh.
There's more than just killing out of madness and revenge. In 1928, actress June Howard Tripp was asleep on the couch in the Adelphi Theatre, waiting to go on. She was woken up by a violent shaking and was held down against her will as a greenish mist began to fill the room, until two abrupt knocks on the door ended the horror almost as soon as it had started. Her arms were covered in bruises. Later, the actress discovered that the room she was in had once belonged to William Terrace. Thus commenced almost a century of sightings of Terrace's ghost.
Interesting that he chose to pop up as a green mist.
Yeah, I don't know why the argument... Like, a lot of other people are saying it too, but I don't know what the tie-in is with that.
Mm.
During a meeting of the Ghost Club, a group formed in the pursuit of paranormal sciences, member Leonard Francis claims to have received the message, "I am William Lewin. I was stabbed at the Adelphi Theatre. I cannot rest." Upon investigation into what he heard, Francis discovered that Lewin had been the birth name of Terrace, who changed it when he began his career in acting. Francis claims that after his revelation, he went to Westminster Abbey to pray for Terrace, at which point his apparition briefly appeared and faintly smiled.
Ooh.
Until 1950, William's ghost was frequently sighted at the theatre and almost always accompanied by a green mist. However, in 1955... Jack Hayden, a ticket collector at Covent Garden Tube Station, which is where it ties into our Underground series, claimed to have seen Terrace's ghost in full regalia, like an opera cloak, glasses, cane, the whole shebang. Since then, the Victorian apparition has been seen in and around Covent Garden Station, on the platforms and climbing the stairs indefinitely, and it's not been seen at the Adelphi Theatre since it was seen at Covent Garden.
So why has he moved to the Tube then?
I don't... Well, also, interestingly, I don't think Covent Garden Tube was around when he died.
Mm.
I think that was built...
When did he die?
1897, I think.
No, probably not. Or it would have just opened.
Yeah, so when they... I don't know. They couldn't have haunted it when he was alive.
No.
I don't know. Maybe a parts of it... No, it's a little bit shifted over. I don't know why. Someone even said that they've seen him walk... Like a figure walk through closed doors at the tube station. But also, like, it's not a green mist at the Covent Garden tube station. So maybe it's just a different Victorian.
That could be a different Victorian, couldn't it? That could just be someone who's gone to the theatre. How do they know it's old William?
Oh, I don't Billy. Know. I mean, we know what he looks like.
Oh, right. But so someone's seen him, then looked at a photo and be like, yep, that's the guy.
I guess so. But to me, I mean, I don't know anything about Jack Hayden, but I'm going to assume he didn't know what William Terrace looked like when he saw that ghost. It's probably just assumption.
Like, I don't know how, because my understanding of ghosts, well, as far as like how people who believe in ghosts justify it, is that it's an energy.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a residual energy that remains in the spot where they died because there's some sort of extreme trauma there. So if that's the case, how could that then move?
Well, I mean, if we're going to extrapolate this to a universal scale, we're nowhere near the place that anyone died anymore because we've moved in the universe.
Right, yeah,
so,
sure.
So, arguably, and the world's always turning.
Hmm.
So why would you be, if you were a ghost and it was energy...
Unless it's somehow captured in the fabric of the building and the land.
Potentially.
I mean...
It depends. Like, some people, I guess, believe energy. Some people could go... Like, I feel like real basic bitch ghosts are, like, could get on a plane.
Mm.
Like, oh, it's Casper. Whereas others are just like, I can sense my mum in the building.
Yeah. So this is like, he's... Sure, you can see it. He's a green mist in the theatre, whatever. Maybe he's got more energy underground. I'm trying to get into the mind of how a ghost hunter or a paranormal investigator would justify that.
I don't know what green fucking mist is. Like, you don't...
I'd like to see it.
You don't hear about green mist in... You hear, like, ectoplasm, sure. There's a lot of, like, stuff associated with ghosts, which is, you know, like, maybe a fog.
Mm.
But a green specific mist.
It's very Ghostbusters.
I'm imagining like a cartoon fart.
Yeah.
And I don't know if that's...
Yeah, low lingering.
Yeah.
Mm.
I don't know.
Has anyone done a proper paranormal investigation there at the Adelphi Theatre?
I'm not sure about that, Jim. We could be the people to do it.
I would love to do it. Because presumably it's the same building.
Yeah.
They've not rebuilt it or anything.
No, it's all the same.
Yes.
What's on at the moment in Adelphi? Let's see. Because if it's something shit like Kinky Boots, then we could probably get in there, do an investigation. That will raise the profile. Congratulations, the ghost has been renewed.
It is Kinky Boots.
What?
It's always Kinky Boots.
That's the only thing that I could know that was on the Strand, and I was like, maybe it's that.
Wow, it's a cool looking theatre.
Kinky Boots, though. I've got no idea what that's about, but I really fucking hate the imagery around it. I hate the name.
We can email them about that. I'll tweet them.
Yeah, Jim, do a tweet. Tell them you've got a music program on TV that criminals love.
Yeah. Hey, they'll bite my hand off. Oh, there he is.
He does.
Oh, come on.
Yeah, he's gay. Isn't he?
Come on. He's wearing a blouse, Chels.
They all did in the 80s.
No, they didn't.
Guys, we've arrived at the new exhibit. And honestly, I didn't think about this. So we will put in the pamphlet, booklet, what's it called?
The program.
The play program from Secret Service, which he was performing in that evening.
It's beautiful.
Lovely. Thanks, guys.
What a fine exhibition. Thanks for listening, guys. We're going to be back next week with more Ghost Museum.
From Jim next week.
Ooh.
So stay alive.
Subscribe. Oh, actually, if you've listened all the way through and you like the podcast, leave us a review on iTunes.
Yeah.
Saying a positive review.
Yeah, a positive review, please.
And 5 stars.
I like that sign out. Stay alive.
Stay alive. And if you don't,
so you're
haunt
in the ghost
us first.
Free admission.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah.